hand clap. You guys have fun today. And here comes Miss Amy.
Okay. I didn't know if I had to turn myself on or not. So, and by the way, I have a picture in my PowerPoint that is just for Jada. So, as always, I get excited coming back here, and hopefully y'all don't mind me coming back here, because I know some of you think, oh, it's the girl who always talks about Leviticus. So, yes, it's the girl who always talks about Leviticus. But also, you're going to get to see a Baptist have to say the word Pentecost. So, because I have to say the word Pentecost a lot today. And I am a Baptist. And so, because today, I don't know if you realize it, today is Pentecost Sunday. And so, here's a Baptist who has to be in a Baptist-costal church who gets to talk about Pentecost. So that's exciting. Come on, be excited. Y'all are supposed to be Baptist-costal. And so I'm excited to be here today, and hopefully I can make the clicker work so Mark doesn't have to jump back there and help me. And because he's hurting, because he's working on a callus for his finger. And but it is exciting because I get to teach you some Hebrew words again today. But since I was here last, I get to tell you a few things. I was trying to remember, and Mom couldn't help me remember, when exactly was I here last year. And I think it was before I went to Denmark and Sweden and Japan. So since I was here last, God has allowed us to go to Denmark, Sweden, and Japan, and now Leedy, Oklahoma. So, and hopefully in July and in August, when it's the worst time of the year to be in Texas and Oklahoma, God is going to let us go to Alaska. So, yes. And so, but I'm really excited to be back. And yes, 31 years ago today, Mark and Mark were wearing green graduation gowns, and I was wearing white because that's how they did it back then. Do they get to all wear green, or do they have to? Okay, because we all had to wear, the girls wore white, the guys wore green, and I walked up the aisle with Craig Jones. Some of y'all know who Craig Jones is, so you know what it was like walking up the aisle with Craig Jones. So, and no matter how fast Mrs. Britton played Pomp and Circumstance, we all beat her up there. How many was in the graduating class this year? 14. So we're still the biggest class that's ever graduated. There was 20 of us in the graduating class. But if y'all don't mind, and if you, I have the scriptures up here, and hopefully this works. There we go. I'm going to start with Leviticus because I am the Leviticus girl. And I love the book of Leviticus, and I know some of you are thinking to yourself, have you read Leviticus? Yes, I've read Leviticus, and I love Leviticus because it tells us the story of Jesus, believe it or not. And I'm going to go through Leviticus very quickly because it gives us the background to Pentecost. And by the way, Carrie, you said every time I said Pentecost, you were going to do this. So if you, every time I say Pentecost, Carrie's going to do this in the back. So just so you'll know. But we have to understand what Pentecost is all about. She's doing it. And so let's go back to Leviticus 23. And I'm going to read this, and you can read it with me. And I'm going to explain the background to this most special day. She's going to get tired if I say it all the time. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. And basically that Sabbath is right after the Feast of First Fruits. Now if you've been here when I've been here before, you know this is right after Passover. And Jesus died on Passover. And he arose on the Feast of First Fruits, because Jesus is our first fruits arose from the dead. So Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits. And so right after that, they start counting. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, and now you're like going, this is why I don't like Leviticus. But just hold on with me. Seven Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. By the way, you see that big word, Lord, it's all capitalized? That's the word Yahweh. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of 10 two-tenth deals. See, this is why you don't like Leviticus, right? They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Let's see if we can make this work. There we go. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Yahweh again. With their meat offerings and their drink offerings, even a meat offering made by fire of sweet aroma unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats and for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. Lots of dead animals, right? Okay, well, let's keep going. There we go. And the priest shall wave them. By the way, when I was a little kid, I really thought the priest took those dead animals and did this. Okay, that's not what he did. See, like he's doing over there. And with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering. Thank you for your help, sir. And a wave offering for the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy. And the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh. They shall be holy before the Lord. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim them on the selfsame day, that it may be a holy convocation. Fancy word is party day. Okay? Unto you shall be no vigorous work. Basically, don't work. Therein it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout the generations. Basically, you're supposed to do what Leviticus says forever and ever and ever. And if you grew up with my generation, you're thinking Randy Travis, and now you say amen. Okay, so that's what you're supposed to do. But there's another verse, because that's verse 21. And this is really important. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make clean riddance of the corners of your field when you reap. Neither shall you gather any gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them unto the poor and unto the strangers. I am the Lord your God. Now that is all called the Feast of Shavuot. That's the Hebrew word for Pentecost. There goes Carrie again. Okay, and so that's what the Hebrew word is, and that's the Feast of Shavuot. Yeah, you're just going to say it every time I say the Hebrew word, right? He's joining you, Carrie, up here. Okay, and so that's the feast. And you're like, well, that's nothing like what we do in church. But it is, and we'll get to that. So just hold on. And you're thinking, wait, that last verse sounds like something that I remember from a story in the Bible. Well, hopefully you're catching on, because we're going to get to that in just a second. Because this is all tied together. But a lot of times, because we get bored like by Leviticus, we don't catch the whole story of the Bible. And we don't connect how Leviticus connects to Jesus and the whole Bible. So what does this whole Shavuot, Pentecost, all of this mean together? And how does this apply to our life today? So let's look to the background. That counting the days from the Feast of First Fruits in Hebrew, it's the idea of counting the offering or counting the Omer. And all Jewish males, whether they lived in Ethiopia, and there were Jewish males in Ethiopia, the Ethiopian eunuch was Jewish, or whether they lived in other parts of Africa or Babylon or Persia, which is now Iran, because, you know, a lot of them didn't leave Babylon when they were supposed to do. But wherever they lived in the world, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. At Passover, at Shavuot, or Pentecost, and at Yom Kippur. Wherever they lived, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem. And they had to come from every nation and every language of the world. By the way, Hebrew wasn't the first language, and that's key to what we're going to get to. So they had to come from wherever they lived to Jerusalem, to the temple, and worship God at the temple so they could see all of these sacrifices, all of the peace offerings and all the lambs and all the goats that were killed before the Lord. all the wave offerings. Because I really did think that the priest did this, and you know, all those lambs were going, when I was a kid. I didn't understand it. And so, but that's really important. And this, if you read, remember that last verse I read, where it says, don't, you know, leave part of the corners of the fields alone for the poor to gather? Remember when Ruth and Naomi came back from Moab and she was gathering the corners of the fields? That's why they left them there, for the poor. And Ruth was a Gentile. She wasn't Jewish. And Naomi told her, you can go gather those corners, because they're not supposed to harvest those. Those are supposed to be for the poor people. That was for the inclusion of Ruth. And by the way, Ruth was not a Jewish. She was a Gentile. But Ruth is included in the line of Jesus because she's the great-grandmother of David. So this is all a promise of the Messiah to come. So Shavuot in the Old Testament is a promise of Jesus. And we're not going to read these verses because we don't have time. But you can look at Ruth 1:22, Ruth 4:16-22, because that gives the lineage from Ruth to David. And 2 Samuel 7:12-14, which gives the promise that the seed of David, the line of David, will continue forever. And we know that Jesus is of the line of David. And traditionally, this was believed, the Feast of Shavuot, was when the Torah was given at Mount Sinai. Remember back when they left Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea and they camped out at Mount Sinai and, you know, the Ten Commandments and all of that? This is when they believed the Torah was given, the Ten Commandments were given. And they read a verse, and I'm going to read a part of this passage to you because it's real key. And it's from Ezekiel 1. I'm not going to read 1 through 18. I'm just going to read two verses, okay? Ezekiel 1 and 1:1 and 1:4. Because in Ezekiel, they've been driven to Babylon because of their sins. And Ezekiel is in Babylon looking towards Jerusalem, hoping that one day they will get to go back to Jerusalem, and God gives them the prophecy of their returning back to Jerusalem. And that's what the book of Ezekiel is all about. And it says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, okay, we get it, as I was among the captives by the river of Shabar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof of the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. So every year at Shavuot, all of the Jewish people, all the Jewish males from wherever they live in the world, go to Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem, they're at the temple, and they are remembering what God did for them, the harvest of what God did for them, and they are reading Ezekiel 1 at the temple. That's your background to Pentecost. Now, what happened 50 days after Jesus? Remember, Jesus died on Passover. He died on Passover. The Feast of Unleavened Bread was when he was in the tomb. The Feast of First Fruits, he arose from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples, giving them last instructions. He arose in the ascension, and then the disciples went to the upper room, and for 10 days, they prayed. And they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And so 40 days from his resurrection, he went to heaven. They prayed for 10 days. That's 50 days. They counted the Omer, right? And then all of a sudden, on the 50th day, what happens? It's Shavuot, or what we call Pentecost. And Pent is the word for 50, so 50 days. It's just Greek for Shavuot, okay? So we have Shavuot, we have Pentecost. What happens? And I didn't know how else to describe it. I just found a big picture of fire. Because remember, as they're praying in the upper room, all of the Jewish males are standing around in the temple watching the sacrifices, and they're hearing the reading of Ezekiel 1 about fire coming down from heaven. And then what happens in Acts chapter 2? Let's read. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, all the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise, like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing to themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. What had just happened? Ezekiel 1 had just happened. So the miracle of Shavuot, the miracle of Pentecost, is that all of Jerusalem saw what they had been hearing for hundreds of years. They saw with their very own eyes. Because they had heard about Ezekiel seeing fire coming down from heaven. And suddenly, they saw fire coming down from heaven and resting upon these 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus, who just 50 days earlier had been scattered and scared out of their ever-loving mind. And as we say in Texas, holy guacamole. And do you remember the rest of the passage? Because I'm not going to read the other passage. The people were just astounded because they're like, these Galileans, these fishermen. By the way, there's not a lot, you know, a fisherman doesn't go to seminary to learn Swahili and Ethiopian language or Persian, or it's Farsi, or to learn Farsi, which is the language of Iranian or Persia. And suddenly this Galilean fisherman is standing next to this Persian Jew speaking Farsi to him. And suddenly this Galilean fisherman is standing next to this guy from Ethiopia or Cyprus speaking that language to him, saying, let me tell you about my Jesus that I left 50 years ago, but he changed my world 50 days earlier. And there's fire on top of his head. Holy guacamole! That's the miracle of Pentecost. Y'all should get excited about that. I mean, I'm a Baptist and I'm more excited than you guys are. Because I want you to imagine, I have this picture again. That's what the Jewish people in Jerusalem were seeing. And some of them were like, are they drunk? And Peter went, we ain't drunk with wine. He didn't say ain't, but you know, we're in Oklahoma, so it's okay. We ain't drunk with wine. We're drunk with the power of the Holy Spirit because something has happened to us. And if we go to the end of Acts chapter 2, we see the great miracle of Pentecost. Because this is the result. Peter preached a sermon. Remember what happened to Peter 50 days earlier? He didn't deny Jesus once. He didn't deny Jesus twice. He denied Jesus three times. And the third time Jesus denied him, if you understand what it says in the Greek, he actually cursed Jesus to his face. And now he's preaching a sermon that changes the lives of 3,000 people. Because he preached about sin and the need of salvation. And he called for them to repent and pray. And 3,000 souls were saved and baptized. That means that, is there still about 500 people in Leedy, give or take? Six times the number of people that live in Leedy, Oklahoma, were saved at one time. And it says in verse 42 that they continued steadfastly, which if that means that they stayed, they didn't just go home and go, okay, I signed a card and I got baptized and I'll just live my own life the way I've lived it before. They stayed with the disciples and said, teach me everything you know. Because a lot of times we'll have somebody walk up the aisle, say a prayer, get them to sign a card, and we never see them again. And we count them? No. They stayed and their lives were changed. By the way, you know that the guy who carried Jesus' cross, I don't have the verse, this just popped into my mind. Simon, Simeon, the guy who carried Jesus' cross, later on, Paul recognizes Simeon's son, Rufus, as one of Paul's greatest companions on the road on one of his missionary journeys. That means they were changed forever. That's the miracle of Pentecost. Yes, there was the miracle of speaking in tongues, and we can debate what all that means. And that's something else for later days and other times. But the miracle is that 3,000 people were changed eternally and forever. Six times the number of people that were changed in Leidy. A few weeks ago, I was at a mission conference in Muleshoe, Texas, which is about the same size as here. And I asked a question of some youth, and I was teaching their Sunday school class, and I said, you know, is everybody in Muleshoe, would they say they were saved? Yeah. Is everybody in Muleshoe saved? No. I said, do they go to church? Yeah. Why do they go to church? Because it looks good. Sounds a little bit like Leidy, doesn't it? I grew up here, I know. I hear some people go, oh. But they were changed. What would happen if Leidy was changed like they were changed at the first Pentecost? That they continued steadfastly, and that there was true and consistent discipleship. What would change in Leidy? What would change in Oklahoma? You know, Oklahoma will say that they're, you know, the most Christian state in the Union. Is Oklahoma? Or do we just play a lot? The United States, you know, God and country, but are we a Christian nation? Or do we just play a lot? What if we continued steadfastly and truly had Pentecost again? Can we have Pentecost again? I think we can, and I'll get to that. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. But the Jews, this is later, Paul has already been kicked out of Thessalonica. And this is not about Paul, this is about the Jewish believers in Thessalonica. But the Jews which believe not, these are unbelieving Jewish people, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd bad guys of the baser sort. I like how the King James tries to clean it up. Basically, these are the drunk guys on 6th Street in Austin, okay? And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out unto the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brothers unto the rulers of the city. And this is one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture. These that have turned the world upside down are come here also. One of the results of Pentecost is that you turn the world upside down for Jesus. When was the last time that happened? And can it happen again? Because guys, it has to happen again. Or where are we going to be as a Christian church, as a Christian, I'm not going to even say we're a Christian nation. Where are we going to be as a nation if we don't have it again? So was Shavuot or was Pentecost a one-shot wonder? Can it be reproduced again? I know a lot of you, some of you are new, so you don't know what I do, but I'm a missionary to the Jewish people. I have dedicated the last 18 years of my life to Jewish evangelism, to sharing the gospel with Jewish people. That's why I like Leviticus. So I want to tell you some things very quickly about what we're doing as the DACA Ministries. Mark's on the board, so he gets to hear this all the time. But I want to share with you, and this is for Jada. That's the picture that's for Jada. Because she probably felt like we were going to hit a stop sign when I was in driver's ed. That's my picture for you, Jada. Because, you know, when I was student teaching for my undergrad degree, my student teaching supervisor said, "Amy, you want to change the world." And I said, "No, I just want to put a few dents in it. I don't want to change the world. I just want to put a few dents in it." I decided Miss Newman, she was my supervisor. I think she's right. I want to change the world. I don't want to put a few dents in it. I want to change it. So, you know, besides sharing the gospel with the world, and I was in Japan in November speaking at a conference for Japanese Christians. And there was, because one half of a percent of Japan are believers in Jesus. But that half of a percent have a huge heart for Jewish evangelism. So I was in Osaka and Tokyo speaking at a conference on Jewish evangelism. And I'm not going to show you the pictures of some things I managed to swallow because, you know, y'all don't like sushi probably, and some other raw things I ate. But I want to change the world. And I was able to go to Denmark and Sweden since I last saw you, because I want to change the world. And my friend, the last time I was here, I told you my friend Agnes was dying. My friend who was a Holocaust survivor. Well, she died last September. And I don't know where she is. I went to her funeral in Chicago. And I stood at the grave. And because I was considered part of the family, her children knew that I was like a second daughter. Because I was considered a part of the family, I did a very Jewish custom of actually helping to bury her. And as I shoveled dirt upon her grave, I want to change the world, because I don't know where my Aggie is. And here are some of the things that we want to do. Because we have a heart to reach Jewish millennials with the gospel. Because I'm going to tell you some things that should scare the way out of you. 34% of not just Jewish millennials, but all millennials, don't even care about God anymore. And the number for Generation Z, those guys over there, the baseball guys, and you guys back there, I saw y'all come in. The number gets worse. They don't even care if there's a God anymore. And so Cafe Kehillah is the Hebrew word for community. So we're wanting to start a Jewish and a Christian millennial outreach. And it's based off of our exploremessiah.com website. And we're wanting to start that. And I'll explain number four, because number four might surprise you. But we're wanting to start an outreach to not only disciple Christian millennials, because they have never been discipled, but to also reach Jewish millennials with the gospel. And a lot of times that starts with the question, who is God? Not if there's a God, but who is God? And number four might surprise you, but there's a large Jewish community in Dallas that's part of the homosexual community. And that sometimes offends churches. But Mark and I, we graduated from high school with a gay guy. I'm not going to say his name. There's gay people in Leedy. They need Jesus too. And I always worry about the guy that we graduated high school with, because he went through this town scared to death that nobody would love him if everybody knew his secret. And the Jewish community is just the same way as Lydia is. So how are we going to reach them if we don't show them that the love of God includes them too? And we also are trying to start something, and I'm going to explain this too. It's called Aggie's Place. It's after my friend Agnes. It's a shelter for Orthodox Jewish women who are wanting to leave the life. Because the life of an Orthodox Jewish woman is a lot like a Muslim woman, except that she won't get killed physically. If you're Orthodox and you're Jewish and you're a woman, you often grow up with the assumption that God doesn't love you because you're Jewish, because you're a woman. And Mark's already heard a lot of this. Because I got to be very careful, and because I know I'm being recorded. But they need evangelism. They need counseling. They need job training. A lot of them don't even have high school diplomas. They need discipleship. And they need to know that, number one, God loves them because they are women, not in spite of the fact that they are women. Because most of them don't even realize that the first people to see Jesus alive was women. That's how much Jesus loves women. Because the first people to see him live alive was women. And so Jewish women need to know that God loves them because they are women, not in spite of the fact that they're women. If an Orthodox Jewish woman becomes a believer in Jesus, her husband will leave her, he will divorce her, she will lose her home, she will lose her job, she will lose her children. Because the husband gets the children in the divorce. Because in an Orthodox Jewish life, the husband gets the divorce, not the wife. And he gets everything. That's why we're wanting to start a women's shelter that also focuses on evangelism at the same time. Because a lot of times when a Jewish woman leaves the Orthodox life, they think, well, I've given up Judaism, I also have to give up God. And they become atheist. And by the way, a lot of times these same women, when they leave the Orthodox life, they think, well, I have to give up everything, and I have to go 180, and we can go back to Cafe Kahila, because they often go to that life too, because they think they have no choice. That's what we're trying to do. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't live in Dallas. I live in Leedy, Oklahoma. So what can I do? I'm going to get up here and borrow a chair. Is that okay? There's something else you can do. You can do this. And I hope I don't fall down. Because as I told Mark Stott, yeah, would you help me do this? Because I was voted most likely to accidentally kill myself in college. So I was afraid of doing this. You can do this. You can sit down. Because we're starting a prayer outreach. And all we're asking you to do is sit. Would you sit? And while you're sitting, would you pray? Because you can pray. Most people say, well, I don't know any Jewish people. And if you've lived here and if you've been at this church long enough, there was a Jewish man in this town who died and went to heaven because of this church. But you, even if you don't know any other Jewish people, you can still sit, and you can still pray, and you can still commit yourself to praying for the Jewish people, because 99% out of every 100 Jewish people living in this world today are going to hell. I went this week to Flower Mound, which is a suburb of Dallas, to pick up a table for our office space, for our ministry office space, because I love Facebook Marketplace. And it was $20, because I like a bargain. And I went and I knocked on the door, and I looked on the door, and there was a mezuzah, that Jewish thing that is on the door. And I went, oh, this is going to be interesting. So I knocked on the door, and as we were looking at the table, I said, and I found out that she was Russian, she was Jewish. And I said, ma'am, I want you to know who I am and what I do. And she went, well, that's kind of cool, but I'm Jewish. I said, I know, we've already talked about that. She's Russian, she came from the Ukraine in 1999. And she goes, well, my daughter-in-law is Catholic, and she's always trying to get me to believe in Jesus. And I went, an evangelical Catholic, okay. And she goes, but I feel like I need to stay Jewish because of the Holocaust. Her grandparents were killed at Babi Yar, if you know history. And I said, well, I have friends who their grandparents were killed at Babi Yar, and she believes in Jesus, and she's still Jewish. And so we talked, and she said, you know, I really like you. And she hugged me, and she took the track that I gave her, and she goes, I really like what you're doing. You can pray for her. Her name is Zena. Not like the warrior princess, but her name is Zena. You can pray for Zena. I was in Home Depot on Friday, and the cashier saw my Star of David that I wear. And he said, are you Jewish? I said, no, but I share Jesus with Jewish people. He goes, my stepfather's Jewish. I said, can I pray for him? He goes, yeah, would you pray for him? You can pray for John. We were in the hotel in Elk City, and I don't know where they're from, because they're doing this little cycling across America, so they've already cycled on. But the people next door to us, they were Jewish. You can pray for those people, because if you don't, who will? Would you sit here and just pray if it would save the world? Because my friend Aggie just needed somebody to pray for her. Because what is required for another Pentecost? What is required for another Shavuot? Genuine conviction of sin. An awareness of the need for salvation, not just for yourself, but if you're not here, if you're here today and you're not saved, you need saved. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. So if you're here and you're thinking, I'll just get saved because I'll go to heaven because grandma's saved, I don't cut it. Are you genuinely convicted of your sins? And do you really believe that Jesus is the only way for the whole world? Because he is the only way for the whole world. Peter said before the Sanhedrin, there is no other way under heaven or earth whereby men might be saved. Are you aware of the sins of the world and the needs of the salvation for the whole world? And are you calling for prayer? Are you calling for repentance? And are you willing to put in the time to disciple those who come to faith? If we want another Pentecost, if we want another Shavuot, that's what's required. It's not about just feeling it, it's about doing it. And sometimes it starts with us. Mark.
Close with something today. Ellen, you have my mind. Amy's got my mind. Guys, this is
a wonderful ministry that I'm privileged to be on her board. And Amy doesn't know this, but she has opened my eyes up to the world, Jewish people, and they're everywhere. It was several years ago when she was here, and we went up to a restaurant here in town, and there was a Jewish man there, and I saw her ministry in action. She doesn't just go around and speak in conferences and churches and all that. I mean, she lives, breathes this. She does. You heard her life. I mean, for that one person, And she talked to this man up here at the restaurant and visited with him, and that man came to know Jesus. And just shortly thereafter, he passed away. And, you know, when Amy was speaking about, you know, I love Leviticus, but talking about Pentecost and everything, and guys, I'm going to tell you, this last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost and what Amy talked about, you know, and yeah, she's the one I always tell you about, the kids with us, that we're Bapticostal around here, you know, and I always tell her, no, we're Christian. We're just Christian. She knows that. We like to kid each other. But this last day outpouring of and I hear people, pastors say, that's going to be signs and wonders and miracles and all that. This is what I believe. I believe with all of my heart that what's going to win the people that are outside the four walls of this church is when Christians start loving one another and God's love flowing through us to them. I'm a pastor, and I have a pastor's heart. God put that in me. God called me to do this. And when she was ministering, there's two things I want to share with you. We're not God. We're not the judge. She opened my eyes up to, you know, Mark, try to explain the Holocaust to a Jewish person. Where was the church during that time? Where was God's, that's what they're saying, where was God's love at during that time? Here not too long ago, I've over my course of being a pastor in pastoral ministry for 25 years, I've had to do two suicide funerals. And what I had to realize in praying about those funerals, I'm not God. I'm not the judge. There was lots of mental health issues that was going on with them. But I believe in the power of God's love. And both of the ones that I happen to do, I knew that they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I knew that, in fact, both of them, I got to water baptize. But in a moment of weakness and depression and all that, they took their own lives. And so when I was doing this message at a funeral, and I realized afterward, I realized how cold the church is. Because after that service, I had some people that I could tell, and they go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday, they're the wave in your hand kind of people. But I could tell that they didn't believe what I said that day. And I was like, OMG. You know, where are we at? Where's the love of God in the church? Jade and I watched a movie this week of a pastor that was in it. And I know Amy mentioned this during her message about the Jewish community, the homosexual Jewish community. Those people need to see God's love in action. We watched a movie this week of a pastor who had somebody in his church that was actually on his worship team that was a homosexual that struggled with that lifestyle. And he wanted to be free, and he couldn't be free, and all this, but he was scared that he was going to hell because that's all he had ever heard from the church. You're going to hell because you have this sin in your life. You're going to hell because you have this sin in your life. And it shows this pastor with this man who is dying of AIDS because of his lifestyle, of the choices that he'd made. And he's with this young man in his bedroom, and he's holding his hand, and he's about to die. And this young man is asking him, where am I going to go? Because the church, my whole life's told me I'm going to hell. And I have tried to get free from this, and I cannot get free from this. And I've wanted to be free from this. And that pastor and I wept when I saw this, but that pastor grabbed his hands and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tell. And they just sat there and they sang that together. And I'm telling you guys, God's love is so powerful if we will let it flow through us. And I guess, and we don't, Barbara, as the church as a whole doesn't do that. And we have got to let the power of God's love flow through us. And Amy has opened my eyes when I've been on her board of saying, Mark, what the Jewish people need to see is our love. They need to see Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus' love flowing through us. Because that's why he came to the Jews first. and then us Gentiles. I'm glad I'm a corner people. When she was talking about the corners, I'm glad I'm in. And as I was sitting there when she was saying that, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me while she was ministering and saying, Mark, Jesus is in your corner. He's in our corner. We're Gentiles. And so with that, before we go today, and I want you, I know we got lots of different, I see lots of different faces here today, and we have got a love offering already prepared for this ministry through y'all's giving, but I want to give you the opportunity to even give more to this ministry, because they are, and we'll have a basket, Dusty will have a basket back here, is Sadaka Ministries, or you can make it out to HFC, you know, for short, or if you're giving cash, we have cash envelopes back there. And we want to be a blessing to this ministry because this ministry is doing the stuff. I'm on the board. I get to hear and see. She's traveling to different countries and different areas, and she'll go to the one or to the many. Doesn't matter. And we want to be a part in sending her and Barbara, because I know Barbara's the one that sits in that chair and prays for Amy a lot, and we do as well. So Dusty's got a basket back here at the back, and I want you to give generously to this ministry. And everybody said, amen. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do today. But I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I want to do something before we leave today. Is something that Amy talked about, is about if you don't know Jesus. I look around here and I think I know, but I don't want to just think I know. I want to make sure, and don't want you to leave here today without receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible makes it very simple how it's done. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it talks about confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, upon the Lord Jesus, shall be saved. And so what I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. And so, and if you're here today and you know, hey, I am saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them, okay? And I know we have people that are watching by Church's Aid, and this will also be going out on the radio. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer and that's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer, I want you to get with me and we'll get you water baptized next Sunday right up here. But I want everybody to stand up, and I know Amy and Barbara will be here. If you have any questions or you want to talk to her, please do that. And please give in that offering basket back there at the back. And but I want to speak a blessing over everybody here today, okay? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome week. And we'll see you guys next Sunday. Be sure and come up here and visit with Amy and Barbara. And be sure and do what you can to bless this ministry. Amen. Love you guys.